Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
When I was booted out of council at that meeting, it was because y'all were using the terms of this proposed ordinance at that time. So it will empower you to make poor decisions.
False.
May I finish, please, Mr. Andrade? It is my turn at the podium, not yours. You do this all day long on Facebook to me. I'm not going to allow it from the podium
continue,
in a public
continue,
meeting.
Continue, Pam. Thank you.
He brought it up,
I
Jeff.
Understand.
I didn't
just said
start
continue.
It.
Just continue.
I didn't
thank
start
you.
It. He did.
Continue.
Okay.
The dulcet tones of the civility, decorum, and general friendliness that goes on at the Milton City Council Melodrama Theater. In this case, you have our co-star for the day, Pam Mitchell, the local activist who has been very involved in the Save Our Blackwater effort because she lives right there on Cooper Basin. And she's trying to make a point about the changes in the rules for the meetings that have to do with trying to reestablish decorum, which has been, missing in action in Milton for as long as I have been watching the meetings, which is what makes them so entertaining. Not good, but entertaining. Anyway, and they were passing or thinking about actually codifying into ordinance some changes to, you know, how points of order are handled and who is responsible for running the meetings and the number of times you can speak and when you can speak, things that had been kind of semi in practice since Scott Collins, the city manager, was there briefly and then left. And then just kind of the idea was to put them into law, basically, so that you can act on them when people violate them. And she was speaking, and in the course of her speaking, you heard occasionally city attorney Alex Andrade jump in with incorrect, false. And Pam Mitchell didn't like being, you know, interrupted like that. So Mayor Heather Lindsay says,
I'm responsible for the meeting, then I would ask everyone to maintain order and let one person speak at a time and don't interrupt the speaker and allow the speaker to be heard. And if folks would please respect that, I think we could get on with our city business in a professional way. Thank you.
Which is kind of always her opinion on these matters. And Randy Jorgensen says he's the city manager now. Of course, he's leaving soon. Ed Spears is going to be replacing him.
One comment I'd like to make. The display that just occurred here is the very reason, I think, for the ordinance being crafted to begin with.
So you know how we're working on this rule? Well, we're working on this rule because of the nonsense that we just saw. And he follows up, and it becomes an interesting conversation, I'll just put it that way, as it often is in the city of Milton. Tensions run high, patience runs thin, grace and charity have been slaughtered outside the building.
Council's discretion as it relates to how they'd like to see it approached, but certainly that lends credibility to the need.
Well, Mr. Jorgensen, if that is intended as a criticism to the speaker, I would point out that the speaker maintained decorum until she was interrupted by Mr. Andrade and Mr. Snow.
If we're discussing the merits of the ordinance itself at this point, I would just note that the purpose of this ordinance is to protect procedural votes and points of order that the council raises that have been historically, over the past year and a half, 2 years, been overruled, disregarded, interrupted, or shouted down by the chair of any specific meeting.
Now, Alex has a way of not being quite as direct as a person who's putting together the audio clips like me might want. He's talking about Mayor Lindsay. He's saying that over the last few years, every time somebody raises a point of order or challenge objection, you don't do your job because you don't like the objection, you don't like the person or whatever. Randy Jorgensen is saying, this is why we need this stuff. And Heather says, if you're trying to swipe at the speaker, it was Alex who interrupted her. And Alex is like, yeah, because y'all don't follow these rules, like, ever.
The purpose of this ordinance is to establish decorum, regardless of whether or not the chair of any specific meeting is incapable of setting aside their bias and actually conducting a proper working order meeting.
Again, substitute chair is Mayor Lindsay. If you are incapable of setting aside your bias and doing your job properly, these rules exist for the protection of the order and decorum of the meeting itself. So, strong talk couched in not so strong language.
The purpose of this ordinance is to try and reestablish a professional level of decorum at all city meetings, regardless of who the chair is at any given time.
Thank you so much for that clarification, members of council and the public. It looks like the public should be reassured that this isn't about limiting public input.
You know when 8-year-olds bicker? And the one 8-year-old says something and the other 8-year-old says, oh, thank you so much. That reassures me completely. Let's hear that tone again.
Thank you so much for that clarification, members of council and the public. It looks like the public should be reassured that this isn't about limiting public input.
It's just so refreshing to my soul early in the morning to get up and experience a little bit of Milton City Council melodrama theater. Now, there was a moment a little bit later when this was actually in the work session before the regular meeting. The meeting itself was, just trust me. Okay, if you don't normally listen to the show at 6 or at 7 or at 8, when we will revisit this, you may want to check in again this morning or check the podcast later at newsradio923.com. But yeah, it's going to be all 4 hours are going to be starting with this because there was a lot in this meeting. And it got betterer the longer the meeting went on, okay? It was not till the end when the real betterest stuff came. I've got the radio show. You don't. I can make up the words. So they were talking a little bit later in the work session about the possibility of serving on the Transportation Planning Organization, which couple years ago, Heather Lindsay had been on, and then she was kind of forced off of. There's going to be a dispute about why. But anyway, that's kind of the backdrop here is, you know, if one of the city council members who is currently assigned to that, I think it's Roxanne Meese is currently assigned to it, if she can't go, then who's going to be her backup? And Heather Lindsay says, well, I mean, maybe me now that I'm out of my Pensacola job as the assistant city attorney.
I'd actually contemplated suggesting that I be the TPO representative again since I no longer am employed by the city of Pensacola and I no longer have a conflict. But I don't expect this council to support that.
I don't expect this council to support me, basically, because the majority is sort of politically against her. And, you know, just quick reset, you've got Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow and the mayor, who is a non-voting unless there's a tie, kind of on the one side. And then you have the other 6 city council members usually kind of on the other side. Alex Andrade usually siding with them, Randy Jorgensen and Ned Spears typically being on their side. The Pitchfork Posse, if you're following along and your scoreboard at home, your scorecard at home, they are siding typically with the Farrow Cusack Lindsay wing of this little melodrama theater. So Mayor Lindsay says, I think it could be me, but I don't think I'm going to get appointed. She thinks the reason she is not on that board to begin with is because she is both the mayor and also working at the city of Pensacola, which puts her at odds in conflict with being representing both on the TPO.
The only reason I was removed from that post was because of my employment with the city of Pensacola in June of 2019.
I would actually disagree with that.
So Jeff Snow says, that's not it.
I really get concerned when, because of personal disagreements among us, our roles are changed instead of just disregarding the personality and just looking at the principle.
So she says it's personality. She says it's sort of animus against her. Also, she was trying to figure out, does she as the mayor have the power to sort of appoint herself, or does that power wind up in somebody else's hands because you know, a lot of times the mayor makes some of these appointments, and so that's kind of the backdrop here. And she says, okay, it's all personality. Jeff Snow says,
the reason that you were removed, and maybe some of the other council members can clarify, is that the council had voted in a for the direction of the four lane at one time, and you would fight against what the council had decided, and that was the reason. It wasn't personal. Nothing here's personal for me, even though you think it is. It's just a policy situation. I'm sorry you feel like it's personal. It's not.
So he says it wasn't because you were both the mayor and working for the city of Pensacola. He says it's just because you had a position in opposition to the majority, which is to favor the four-laning of Highway 90 through Milton. And this has been a long-standing, ongoing fight. Some people really oppose the four-laning, which FDOT is going to do. Other people are in favor of it. The mayor, according to Jeff Snow, and I just couldn't remember, but I guess I'm not saying he's wrong. I just couldn't remember that she was opposed to it. Now their position is basically, we can't stop it. Let's work with it as much as possible. And what he's saying is, we need somebody on the TPO who's going to really represent the viewpoint that the council has, and you're not it.
So if the council votes to support anything as a whole, then it's our job to make sure that that's delivered.
So. And when did I vote against your position on the TPO, sir?
Which is a fair question, right? If I'm so problematic as a candidate, then show me by my record that I did something contrary to the will of the council in representing you on the TPO, Transportation Planning Organization. That's the collective agency of three counties, Santa Rosa, Escambia, and Baldwin County, and figures out, you know, planning projects and roads projects and things like that over the course of a long period of time.
There's not a single record of it,
not,
sir.
Not voting, but how you've made your stance, not to bring all of that back up. It was, that's why the council took you off of the TPO.
So is the standard that the mayor may be the TPO representative as long as her First Amendment rights are not exercised?
You can have your First Amendment right.
Okay.
So I cannot have my own view and be on the TPO? You can, but that's not the issue. So this is, as is often the case, John, you've seen many productions of the Milton City Council Theater. You live in Milton, at least in the vicinity. On a scale of one to crazy, how would you grade this particular episode?
This particular, about an 8.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I haven't heard the bits, other stuff
I
yet.
Personally, having watched the entire production, I know you've only seen Act 1.
Right.
I would put this at like a 3 to 4.
Okay.
We'll get there. We'll get there. I'm just telling you that subsequent acts are going to be even more entertaining.
I just know when you say you could better tune in on the 6, 7, and 8 o'clock hour. It's coming. And
it's,
I might as well
coming.
Just go ahead and push the bar up there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was moderating a candidate forum last night in Navarre. Part 2 I'll be doing again tonight, and somebody had come who didn't know me and asked me, you know, hey, in your radio show, do you do local issues? I'm like, do I? Sometimes. We do talk about the local stuff. 5:23 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, you know, if you are considering the prospect of selling a home, you want to make sure that you're going to get the best price for it. You want to make sure that you're going to, you know, get it done quickly and that it's going to, you know, not run into hiccups that cause problems. Well, that's, you know, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. They will take care of you with that. Now, Christina's story is kind of an interesting one because she used to be in TV news, right, you know, a decade ago. And then she started a family and did a couple of things, and then she wound up starting, you know, to do real estate. And those of us who knew Christina, and I've known her as long as I've lived here, thought, well, you know, look, a lot of people try real estate, and maybe that's all you can really say. And we thought, well, I suppose if anybody can do it, maybe she can, but you never really know. And so first year, second year, third year just seemed like a rocket, you know, taking off and selling homes, and was just like an unheard of number, to the point where last year she and her team at Leavenrinke Realty sold 175 homes in, again, I think it's about her seventh year in business, which is amazing, you know, because some realtors are like excited to sell a couple of homes a year. I mean, a home a month is, you know, you're clicking 175 homes in a year, you know, 3.5 a week. That's okay. The point is, you want somebody who's going to take care of your interest, and they will. They know how, especially on the selling side. They've got this formula figured out. It works great when the market is hot. It works very well, or, you know, maybe even more effectively because you need it more when the market is not so hot like it is right now. So if you want to find out how she might help you, give her a call. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential. But finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all 3 Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Christmas in July Marketplace at Women's Club of Pensacola is Saturday, 10 till 2, and Sunday, noon to 4. Shop featuring local crafters, artists, and creators. See visitpensacola.com for more. The Navarre Farmers Market is open every Saturday from 10 till 2 at 87 and Segura Corner. Shop fresh produce, milk, and eggs, baked goods, handcrafter items, and much more. Submit your nonprofit event at newsradio923.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Why not? Do or do not. There is no try.
Purple hat, cheetah print, dancing on the people, rolled up at the after joint, dancing on the people, dancing on the people. I got people on the people, dancing on the people with the people on the people, smoking CO2, see me, see you dancing on the people, climb up on the booth, hanging from the people.
Good morning, 527 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, I'm trying to enjoy this song here.
Oh, all right, here we go.
What do we got going on here?
This is Sophie Tucker, Purple Hat.
Okay.
You know how sometimes you, music is powerful, right? And you can, the Summer of 69, you know, Boys of Summer by Don Henley, I immediately know I'm in 8th grade at our townhouse in,
right,
you know, Woodridge, Illinois. You know, like, music, smells also have that same kind of power. And weirdly, that song, I remember where I first heard it, of all places, I first heard that song while I was sitting down waiting for my boys to finish their hour session at what's the trampoline place? All of a sudden, I can't think of it here in town. Where you go rent, you know, you go pay for an hour. Sky Zone.
Sky Zone, yeah.
Yeah, and we had done like the month passes, and Dad had done the half hour, and that was all I could do that day. The knees couldn't do more, and I'm just sitting down there, and it just came over the loudspeaker. I'm like, oh, that's a good song. I got to get that for bumper music. Music is powerful.
Well, I remember where I first heard it, right here, right now.
Sitting here in this studio watching me. All right, fair enough.
No, President Biden finally addressing the nation tonight from the Oval Office. This will be his first on-camera appearance since dropping out of the 2024 presidential race.
I am not an AI-generated facsimile of the president.
Today we see how far AI has come.
You know that's all over social media, is the mostly joking, just a little bit concerned.
Some people aren't sure if they're joking or not.
Right, exactly. Like, they haven't seen the president in a week. Oh, he made that call into the Kamala Harris campaign. Did he?
Yeah, if you listen to that audio, I don't know.
Did he?
I'm not going to say he didn't make the call, but it sounded a little suspicious.
It's not 100% in tone with right. everything else from him lately. So, yeah, there's a lot of people with questions. Go ahead, David.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu delivering an address to Congress today. With one notable absence, Vice President Kamala Harris will not be presiding over Netanyahu's address, as vice presidents typically would. Instead, she'll be in Indianapolis for a different event. And there was a
Wait, what?
Yeah, she'll be at, let's see, it says an event that was scheduled before she launched her presidential campaign. I heard on Fox, I think it was some type of sorority event of some sort.
So she's going to a campaign event instead of operating in her function as vice president and president of the Senate. She's just not going to do that when the prime minister of Israel is there. Okay, okay. Continue. I heard it. I just want to make sure I heard it. Go on.
And there was a hydrothermal explosion at Yellowstone National Park. Apparently, it happened at the Biscuit Basin Geyser, and a column of water, mud, and rocks shot out of the ground. Tourists were sent scurrying.
Wow. Nobody hurt, I assume?
Sounds no like injuries okay. reported.
Well, that's the good news.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The vice president usually presides over a joint meeting of Congress, but that's not the case today.
Vice President Kamala Harris will instead be in Indianapolis for a previously scheduled event. Her team says her travel should not be seen as a change in her position with regard to Israel. They say she is committed to Israel's security and will discuss a ceasefire deal with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu when she speaks with him at a separate private meeting at the White House later this week.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, there's fencing surrounding the Capitol complex where more protests are expected. President Biden gearing up for his fourth primetime address from the Oval Office, 8 p.m. Eastern. He'll explain why he dropped out of the presidential race. Former President Trump reportedly going to stop holding outdoor rallies following the assassination attempt July 13th in Butler, Pennsylvania. Later today, he's holding an indoor rally in Charlotte, North Carolina. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it is partly cloudy, 78 degrees. Donald Trump will be hosting Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at Mar-a-Lago this week. Trump announced on Truth Social the two will meet Friday, one day after Netanyahu delivers his joint address to Congress. Trump added that his peace through strength agenda would end wars around the globe if he's elected in November. Dozens of now former employees of ST Engineering in Pensacola speaking out. They say they've been dealt a bad hand. They say the company's to blame. According to Channel 3, around 50 employees on work visas from Chile were suddenly let go and are now at risk of being deported. They say the company provided 2 weeks severance, but little else.
Difficult for the city to play an active role in how a private company operates its department. Obviously, and I appreciate that, you know, us being aware of what's going on is important. And if there's something that we can do for to advocate for Pensacolians with any company, that's good to know.
That reaction from Mayor D.C. Reeves, ST Engineering says they're currently in the process of providing all immigration documents to affected employees to be renewed, which would allow them to find another job. Rick Scott says whistleblowers have now come forward with claims of massive amounts of government fraud, waste, and abuse at the southern border. Senator Scott attending a roundtable discussion yesterday about border security. He says the Biden-Harris administration has caused the border to collapse on their watch and says, and he calls it a complete failure. The State Board of Education set to make a decision on whether high school athletes can be paid for their name, image, or likeness today.
So there are going to be hesitations. We're going to feel nervous. But I do really believe that this is going to put us on par with the rest of the country.
That's Board Chair Monica Colucci. She says NIL is still a work in progress and things may still need to be tweaked. If the Board of Education does approve allowing high schoolers to profit off of NIL deals, Florida would join 30 other states that have similar rules. Gulf Breeze Police asking for the public's help locating a man that was last seen on the 4th of July. 53-year-old Charles Sutherland was reported missing on the 15th after he didn't show up for work on the 12th or the 13th. Investigators say his phone was found at Shoreline Park Turf Field in Gulf Breeze. He was described as 5'11 with brown hair or brown eyes and brown hair. If you have any information, you are asked to contact Gulf Breeze Police. It is 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing scattered showers and thunderstorms as we go throughout the day today. 70% chance of rain, high near 88. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Thursday, 70% chance of rain does continue, high near 89. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Keeping the scattered showers around for Friday with a 70% chance of rain, high near 89. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 78 in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, 77 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Did you know that with Pensacola Habitat for Humanity, home buyers can choose their location, floor plans, and even certain home features? It's true. With an affordable mortgage, you can build the home of your dreams, tailored to your needs and preferences, all depending on availability and qualifications. Don't wait. Start your journey to home ownership with Pensacola Habitat for Humanity today. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org to learn more and apply today.
Hey Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company, inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has Military Open Mic Monday, Trivia Tuesday, Karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sereno Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Now, I don't know that it's going to come true or not, but yesterday was a beautiful sunrise. And just giving you a little heads up that soon may be in about a half hour or something like that. So I don't know that'll change any of your behavior, but I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic about it this morning. Yesterday, I had a chance to talk with Chief Deputy Tommy Leiter, who is the Chief Deputy at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Simmons is out for the week. Tommy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Always good to have you. And for those who care, we were in LEAP together, Leadership Pensacola, class 2016, best class ever.
Best class ever.
So I appreciate that. Let's talk. Okay. I don't want to say this because I know you guys hate it when I say it, but it's kind of been quiet this week.
You know, it is interesting when you say that. And I think I'll say pushback, but the pause in our voices, there's so much going on. We have...
Well, you also have the superstition, kind of the, don't say it!
Exactly. Yeah, that's a big part of it. And it's not necessarily newsworthy. We made some great narcotics arrests, traffic stop narcotics arrests, but that's a small fraction of what we're going on. There's 721 employees, 438 of us are sworn. We're in the middle of block training right now, so we just did active shooter training. That's a heavy lift.
Where did you do that at? Was it a school this year?
We didn't do a school this year. We'll hit a school next year, bring in the real-time crime center because they have access to to Cameron. So we'll pick a location that where the training for real-time crime center as well.
Oh, okay.
And we can integrate the cameras and how well does that
Yeah, that makes sense. Right.
On the all the pieces are there, but if you don't train on it, you know, when
you won't use them right
happens,
under a crisis, right?
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. You go when the stress situations, you're going to go back to your training. There's so much. About 90%, maybe 95% of what our narcotics unit's doing, we'll never be able to talk about on the radio. We have some phenomenal, every single day they go to work, they're swinging for the fences. It's just great police work. And I sit here on the radio and say, it's a quiet day.
Yeah.
And, you know, our intel units working every day, our investigators with the open some of our open homicide cases mm-hmm. and just our major cases that we're working. They don't spend a day on it and then move on. It's a months long, multiple deputies tie into it. We get briefings every morning on it. Weekly on some of the big stuff. There's a lot of work going on.
Anyway. I have a weird abstract question for you that you make me think of all of a sudden. As you were talking, I was thinking about all of the daily work that goes on, like showing up to a domestic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got a domestic disturbance. You show up, your officers de-escalate, and you know they either resolve their problems or they split up or you know whatever. Okay, every outcome can be different. And it made me think about the crimes you prevent,
yeah.
The situations you thwart by your presence, by your training, by working with people that don't become a news,
yeah.
Okay? Which to me, that's a win, right? That's the success. I mean, yes, catching somebody after they've done something bad is also success, but the deterrence, discouragement, avoidance, de-escalation, that's also success. And I don't know if you have any way to track that. Do you have any kind of metrics for... You know, we went to this address and then there was no follow-up, that nothing else had to be done. You know, because I know, well, we've been to that address 10 times and then there was a homicide and that's a horrible story. But do you have a way of measuring success as avoidance or crimes that didn't happen?
You know, it's interesting because we were standing up. We just stood up the co-responder unit with the Lakeview Center.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only about 2 weeks
old. For behavioral health stuff.
Behavioral health. What we're tracking, though, the metrics we're tracking is we have multiple calls to a house, 13, 14, 16, on and on and on, multiple Baker Acts.
Yeah.
And then we stood up this unit. We actually have the deputy that is co-responding with the Lakeview Center has been working for about 6 months now and has been doing follow-ups. And so we're tracking that metrics, and we do have cases, homes, where it's gone to zero,
mm-hmm.
just because we have that deputy that's conducting follow-up.
That's awesome. That's
We're
great.
We're partnering with University of West Florida to track those metrics. We had a meeting with them, started a couple months ago,
mm-hmm.
with I love partnering with University of West Florida. They've done a number of studies. When I was the chief of police, they helped staffing studies, the Haas Center.
Yeah, they're fabulous.
And in this case, it's Hassan Bukhar, which works in criminal justice.
Okay.
It's just phenomenal. So they're sending in interns. We'll go through... You know, are we asking the right questions? How do we follow up on that? Just how successful is this going to be?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of money goes into it, federal dollars that are pouring into that co-responder unit model. And we want to measure how successful it is. Are we asking the right questions from the very beginning? So that partnership with the University of West Florida is going to be beneficial. It'll take a year or more, 18 months, before we really get an accurate picture of it.
But. Right. And I mean, of course, tracking these things takes time and getting the data analyzed takes time. I was even thinking about things like, you know, the area around Diego Circle has been in the news a lot lately, and it made me think of, you know, do you track that over time? And do you try different tactics of we're going to send patrol around, you know, every 2 hours, every hour, and see if that makes a difference? You know, that's the kind of stuff I was thinking about, that kind of experiment and get results.
Yeah.
And
you know, the surveillance vans that mm-hmm, kind yeah. of laughingly do it, but it's successful.
But very deployed at Blue Angels. I saw you had several solar-powered ones, and then you also had the van. I saw the van, yeah.
And you had the nuisance houses where, you know, the indication maybe there's some narcotics using or mm-hmm. selling, and our narcotics unit can't get in there for whatever reason, or it's just loud music or whatever the nuisance complaint is. We put that surveillance van out there and it would go to zero.
Yeah.
And so, yes, to answer your question, I don't know where we're measuring it. It's difficult to measure how many
of course,
crimes did
right.
we deter today. But I can tell you we track the parties that'll go on year, so May party or whatever, this party,
right, the annual
year
event,
after year
right,
after
right.
year. And our real-time crime center is tracking that, the intel unit's tracking that. So we said, hey, the last 3 years we've had, you know, 800 people show up here and we've had a number of shootings. We're taking the initiative. Last year we started doing it and it's
gone to
zero.
Let's go there before we get called there.
And it's gone to zero. So it is absolutely, there's most cost effective, say not cost effective, but the best crime prevention tool is uniformed police officer.
Yeah.
It's just
being on the scene.
You can imagine. That's
people,
it.
Yeah, standing people behave. They drive the speed limit when you guys are near. I mean, that's just true. You guys also did a recognition for a canine streeter. Yes. Who was the dog who jumped over the ledge chasing the bad guy after the shooting that killed that elderly woman about a month or so ago, I think, now.
Yep.
Nice to recognize the canine. Did he get extra good treats, I hope?
He did, yes. I was a canine handler for a number of years, and it's
you've done everything.
It seems like
you've done SWAT, you've done rescue diving, you've done
road team, SWAT team, street crimes. But I've been policing for 34 years, so it has been a wonderful career. I'm still going. So
right.
It is a wonderful career. But yeah, streeter. So the canines. When you're watching that video, you can see the dog zero in on the suspect. You can watch their ears. They'll actually go up. It's called targeting, and then they'll go back down. And you can see the minute he does it that he's going to follow that guy anywhere. Sure enough, he jumps over that bridge, and you kind of collectively hold your breath because you know it's 40 feet.
Right.
That's 40 feet. I wasn't aware when you look at it. You know, there's water, and then it's not water. The shore stops it, and that's where two of them fell. The one died. So when you see that dog go over there, you're like, oh, this
you're holding your breath,
end.
Right?
This is not going to end well. And the whole time that we're looking for the other guys, that dog's swimming out looking for his suspect. He was
he's still going for the bad guy.
He's still targeting looking for that guy. So
that's amazing.
It's pretty cool to watch the canines.
I did. I mentioned just a moment ago, but the I didn't realize that you have a dive team for not only police department, but at the Scammy Sheriff's Office, and boat as well. But tell me more, because I didn't. Yeah. I just didn't realize. It makes sense, but I didn't realize.
So we actually gave that when Sheriff Simmons was the chief of police. We gave the dive team and the boat team to the sheriff's office.
Okay.
It's expensive to maintain, and we just weren't getting the calls for service. So Escambia County Sheriff's Office is the regional dive team.
The
county dive team also. Phenomenal divers. We actually were out there with that missing child, the autistic child that drowned. It was our dive team that went in those lakes and found him. We had three different lakes, and it's sad to see that stuff. But
so that's what they're doing, is looking for if a car goes in the water, or if you're looking for a person or evidence, or you know, somebody throws a gun over the bridge, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Yep. They'll find about anything to do with water, they're in it. You'd mentioned cars, that seems to be pretty common.
Yeah.
Evidence is pretty common. And then they have tools, they have side scan sonar, so we can pull the sonar across and locate bodies or cars or something.
Really?
Like that.
Huh. Okay.
The
makes
water
sense.
Is big enough, and then we'll send a diver in the water. So it is, as I said, I did it a number of years, and it's hard. It's a unique experience. It elicits its own emotions. You can't see me on the radio, but
I can tell you're reacting to what you remember. Yeah,
you think about you're looking for some lost child in a pond that with zero visibility. You can't see your hand, so it's all feel. So you're moving along, just kind of looking, and then all of a sudden you're right upon this little, you know, this 4-year-old little kid, and it's like, oh, I was hoping not to find something in here, actually. So what they do, it's a peripheral job, secondary. So they're patrol officers, they're detectives, their full-time job is policing, and then their secondary job, like our SWAT team, is diving on top of all the training evolution. So it's a heavy lift. And what they do is, it matters. Like you'd mentioned, you didn't even know we had a dive team. I think most people listening to it didn't even think we have a dive team. But it's just part of that conversation of how much we're doing behind the scenes.
And then,
not busy.
Yeah, there's
just
always
may not
stuff.
Be newsworthy kind of thing.
And I mean, that's the activity of daily policing. And, you know, it's obviously somebody's doing the dive rescue stuff, and you think, well, who does it? Oh, I don't know. But I guess the shit makes sense. I did want to ask you, just because you were the chief police, now chief deputy, we've obviously been talking a lot with everybody who, all the police are talking about the Secret Service, the failure, the assassination attempt on President Trump. And you and I were talking before you came on the air, and you said something interesting. I think everybody will understand about having worked these details and the men and women on the front line as opposed to the management.
Exactly. Yeah, I've interacted with a number of Secret Service agents over the course of my career, and not just protecting the president. They also work fraud and forgeries and crimes against banking. every single time, 100% of the time when I interact with those agents, they are phenomenal people, well-trained, dedicated to their job, just especially their SWAT team. We interact with a SWAT team. A lot of them are former military, mm-hmm. you know, special forces guys. These guys are top tier.
I've heard some pretty impressive numbers about their accuracy distance. If they see a problem, the problem isn't going to be there.
And that, you know, that the failure on this was at the top. You can see, you can hear that. You had mentioned it listening to her talk it in front of Congress. And it was just, you could see where the problem is. Mm-hmm. And that's an easier fix, in my opinion. Because if you have you see some of the failures in law enforcement, you have the George Floyd, that kind of stuff.
Right.
The question is, if it's a deputy or an officer or an agent on the bottom, the question then is it systemic?
Right.
Because it's not just top. Is it an individual person? But oftentimes what you'll find is it's not necessarily the top. It's always the leadership. But how far down does it go? Where at the Secret Service, I don't think it does. I think it's the top. You replace the top, which I suspect is going to happen. And then it's a much easier fix.
And that, which to me is reassuring because as we're all talking about the Secret Service failure, you know, the issue of where is the competence, and the competence at the level of the ordinary person, an ordinary officer, is very high. And as you say, it's a lot easier to fix if the problem is in the management. And then the question is, well, how did they get there, and how can we get better people in there? And, you know, is that a byproduct of being political appointees and all the other things that come along with it?
And there's, you know, the three fixes for this: leadership, leadership, leadership. Mm. And they've got to address, obviously, that leadership. And that responsibility matches authority. And if that sniper didn't have the authority to address that threat, he can't be responsible for it.
Right.
So who's responsible? Who ultimately can say, hey, you got to take that guy out? That's the guy that ultimately has the authority to do that, then he's ultimately responsible. And it's above that poor guy that was on the end of that rifle, that was on the radio saying, hey, we got a problem over here. And, you know, how disheartening was that?
Right.
For him to have that conversation and not be able to act on it.
To know what was going on and not be able to immediately take action under whatever circumstance that turns out to have been.
I don't have the concerns moving forward that you hear it on the radio. It's like, oh my gosh, how bad is this? And having interacted with them and, you know, like I said, 34 years in policing, some at the pretty high levels, looking at that from the outside, I think we're going to be just fine. We'll address the top.
As long as we make a few changes.
We got to make some changes.
Key changes at the top. All right. Very interesting. Tommy Leiter, he is the chief deputy for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, here in studio with me today. Chip was out. But Tommy, always good to have you on the radio. I super appreciate it. And thanks for doing what you do to keep us safe and keep us informed, man.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Always the case. 5:52 on News Radio Pensacola. Of course, the news that took place shortly after yesterday's show is that the Secret Service director resigned, which was only about a week too late, and not surprising, especially, I mean, given the facts of the assassination attempt, completely predictable. After the abysmal showing in Congress, surprising it wasn't the same day, frankly. We had said that she wouldn't last the week, and, you know, she didn't even last another 24 hours. But don't make the mistake of thinking, well, therefore the problems are fixed. I mean, you know, it's probably not just one person. I mean, that's the right move. But, you know, who else? And now what? Right? Because both are the right question, is who else needs to go and what else needs to change at the Secret Service in order to get the ship back on track. And, again, we still just want to know what happened and, you know, was it a failure or was it not a failure? In the sense of, you know, was there collusion? Was there any deliberate action? You know, I know the way the information has been sort of trickling out lends itself to the view that it was just, you know, a massive error, okay? And that may well turn out to be the case. But, you know, as, again, I'm relying on the testimony of my two good friend sheriffs who persuaded me that you have to at least consider the prospect that some errors are so big that they can't have been errors. And I said before, I'll say it again, I hate to believe that about the Secret Service, but you have to consider that. And the worse the error looks, the more plausible that theory becomes, right? 437-1620, 437-1620. Frontier Motors, one of the things that when you go there and you look at a car, you sit down and talk about a price, you'll get two pieces of paper. The first piece of paper is all the numbers. This is the tax, the title, the trade-in, everything. Everything at the very bottom of the page, it says, and here's your actual total price. And whatever that number doesn't ever change and nothing ever gets added to it. You negotiate on that number. So it's simple. That's the out-the-door price. The other thing is attached to that is a Carfax. And a Carfax is a vehicle maintenance and repair history to the degree people have reported it. Because, you know, if something doesn't get reported, Carfax can't know, right? So that's an incomplete sometimes record. I can tell you from personal experience that can be an incomplete record, which is why I recommend, in addition to a Carfax, that you get a vehicle inspection, a used vehicle inspection from somebody you trust. Because you may find stuff there that doesn't show up on the Carfax, but it's a good first step, okay? It's a very good first piece of information. So if you're buying a car from some corner lot somewhere or, you know, James on Facebook Marketplace, if they don't have a Carfax for you, call Frontier. They'll run one for you. Give them the VIN, no problem. They'll run one, no charge. You say, why would they help me buy a car from James on Facebook? Well, because they can, and it's a way of helping you make better choices. That's it. That's it. You know, does that ever generate business for them? I mean, I don't know. It's goodwill, right? Maybe you like the way they do business. You like that they helped you, but that's just as a way of being helpful. So when I say that Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the big buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
If you're a firearm enthusiast and you're looking to add performance to your firearm, you need to check out Jim's Firearms. Whether it's for competition, hunting, or home defense, Jim's Firearms has got you covered. Customize your firearm with lights, lasers, optics, sights, grips, or suppressors. Make it uniquely yours. Visit Jim's Firearms at the corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento near the back gate of NAS, or find them online at jimsfirearms.net. Jim's Firearms, your one-stop shop for all your firearm needs and your source for specialty firearms.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. At Costello's, they have all your summertime barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, brisket, pork butts, and so much more. And at Costello's, you will find all the best boar's head sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready for charcuterie boards to chicken salad, and of course the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. Fine wine and cheeses. Find them today at the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
Hello, this is Don Spencer, Santa Rosa County Clerk of Court and Comptroller. The clerk's office requires a leader that knows the entire office and its operations. That is why I'm endorsing Jason English as our next Clerk of Court. Jason has 18 years experience in the court system, 3 as my Chief Deputy Clerk. As I retire, he's the only candidate with the education and experience to successfully operate this office. Please join me on August 20th and elect Jason English as our next Clerk of Court and Comptroller. Thank you.
Paid for and approved by Jason English, Republican, Santa Rosa County Clerk of Court and Comptroller.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
Oh, Pancho! Oh, Cisco!
I feel like I'm shooting at the outer edge of the listening audience when I play the Cisco Kid, but I do not care. I grew up on that show, man. Lone Ranger, Cisco Kid, Andy Griffith, all the Westerns. All the Westerns. 559, Wild Wild West, Rockford Files. Come on now, where are my people at? Where are my over 50s? David Wayne's in the newsroom with, no, we're out of time. See you in a bit.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.